Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, this is the time of the year when kids all over the country will be making their their communion and confirmation. The confirmation ceremony has changed slightly over the years, but one constant remains. In advance, kids are asked if they'd like to take the pledge from drinking alcohol, something at that age they shouldn't be doing anyway. Simon Tierney has been looking into this. Afternoon, Simon.
Afternoon, Sean.
So how does is it on the day they're asked to do it, or is it in advance, or what's the procedure there?
Well, they'll sort of discuss it well in advance as part of the Grow in Love programme, which is the kind of the religious curriculum for primary schools. But you will either take it on the day of your confirmation ceremony, or you'll take it during the Ceremony of Light event, which takes place a few days in advance. Of course, you don't have to take it during your confirmation. You could take it at a different time. But from the research that I've done, Sean, it seems to be that it's presented as a letter, first of all, to parents. So the parents are obviously very much involved in this, and it has to be done with their consent. There was one particular letter that I found from a school in County Kildare, and I thought it was interesting perhaps to relay this because it gives a sense of how it's presented. So they gave three options. Number one was to abstain from all alcoholic drink until I am X years of age, right? So that could be 18, it could be 21, or it could be when I get married, as in one case for someone that I spoke with. The second option was refrain from drinking alcohol except in the company of one of my parents until I'm 18 years of age. That's quite an interesting kind of
one. That's a new innovation.
Bit of
I imagine.
A compromise,
yeah.
There, perhaps.
Very
the third
French.
One, very French, yes.
Yes.
Glass of Chablis with your dinner. The third one I thought was quite curious is to inform my parents as soon as possible if I partake in alcoholic drink before I am 18 years of age. Not sure if anyone is going to do that one. I did come across a number of certificates, Sean, and these are sort of signed documents where the child in question will sit down with their parents and they'll kind of agree to the principle of the pledge through a prayer. And if you cast your mind back to the time of going through the confirmation process, it's all about the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And the idea with the pledge is to involve and have the courage that you get from the Holy Spirit in order to abstain from alcohol. So one of those that I read, which is on the Grow in Love website, which again is the curriculum that the schools use, it says, I promise not to drink alcohol until I am X years old, and I ask the Holy Spirit to help me keep this promise. Then it also has a section on abstaining from drug use. And in fact, I've also found some which are definitely more modern because they include a clause about vaping as well.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Because I would have thought they'd put, you know, lighten up a doobie, I'll tell my parents first before the alcohol thing. Maybe even more likely to do that.
Well,
first.
I think the reason why the alcohol is still number one is because that's where the origins of all this comes from. You know, it's the PTAA that started all this, Sean, a long, long time ago. In fact, I think about 125 years ago. The PTAA stands for the Pioneer Total Abstinence Association. People will generally just call them the pioneers colloquially. But it's interesting. This was really, it kind of came out of the temperance movement, which was big pre-famine in the 19th century. But it was towards the end of the 19th century, I suppose a Victorian kind of prudence came into play here. But it was a Jesuit by the name of Father James Cullen, who started the Pioneer Association. And his idea and the idea of his colleagues at that time was that Ireland was very associated with drink, as always has been, I suppose. But he was concerned that families were suffering as a result of this, that men were spending too much of their wages on alcohol at the end of the week and children and women were struggling. So when he introduced it, there were three tasks that had to be followed, and they are still communicated to this day as important tenets of the philosophy. So the first one is praying daily for those living in the shadow of addiction. So there's a kind of a solidarity element to it as well. The second is wearing the lapel pin, which I'm sure a lot of listeners will be familiar with. And the third one is refraining from alcohol consumption. Now, I spoke with Father Robert McCabe. He's the central spiritual director of the Pioneers, and he said this.
The pioneer is somebody who breaks new ground, who is willing to engage with others, and who has an endeavor, who has this endeavor that they wish to propose to others. The precursor to Father Cullen, of course, was Theobald Matthew, who had his temperance movement. As we know, with the famine, there wasn't anything to eat and there wasn't anything to drink. So the temperance movement, at the time of the famine, it waned away. And Father Cullen founded the Pioneers also with his sense of duty towards the nation of Ireland. He could see that Ireland was trying to take its place among the nations. And he felt that if we were to take our place among the nations, we had to be recognized as people who were disciplined, that we would break the mold of people's perception of us being drunken. And he did attribute some of the disaster of Vinegar Hill in 1798 to the fact that the Irish troops lacked the discipline because of their socializing. So some of where he was coming from in 1898 was based on his own historical appreciation, but also his own lived experience of seeing people, as was mentioned earlier on, people who were being paid their wages for transporting grain, and who were paid at one end of the pub and then who went to the other end of the counter to pay their bill that they'd open up the week beforehand.
Right. That was Father Robert McCabe, the Central Spiritual Director of the Pioneer Total Abstinence Association. But, well, so back in the day, is it true that back in the day it was only for women they wanted to become pioneers?
I was fascinated to discover that it started very much as a women-focused thing. And that's why I mentioned the word solidarity earlier. It wasn't about initially actually focusing on the so-called culprits of drunkenness. It was very much about focusing on women as to create this idea of a model citizen that would then perhaps reflect off the men who were doing the drinking. But later on, men were included. It was a phenomenally successful project in terms of numbers. Just before I came in, I discovered a figure that within 20 years of starting this, Sean, he'd gone to 200,000 members of the movement in Ireland. And the population was much smaller at the beginning of the 20th century. It was about exercising the demon drink. We think of that as a bit of a joke nowadays, but there was this idea that the drink was this kind of metaphorical demon inside you, and that it could be exercised using prayer and faith in the Holy Spirit. So it started with women, but the point is that it was always adults, whether they were men or women. That shifted in the 20th century to include younger people, and they got younger and younger to the point that nowadays we think of the pledge as something which kind of preteens or very early teenagers take. I even found one parish in Dublin which is offering the juvenile pledge to children between the ages of 8 and 11.
Wow.
Which I was really surprised to discover.
Now, and just for clarity's sake, that the PTAA is a separate organisation. It's nothing to do with the Catholic Church. So so presumably the Catholic Church administers the sacrament of confirmation and all that. So are they kind of piggybacking on that, or is it a separate body also interacting with national schools on the country and saying we want to come in and hand out pins to people?
So you're absolutely right. There's two separate things going on here. You can take the pledge completely independent of the Pioneer Abstinence Association. And when I reached out to the Catholic Communications Office, they told me that for a lot of schools, this is considered a private matter, that there's no pins involved, there's no certificates involved, even though it is on the Grow in Love curriculum on their website. But sometimes schools will be given the option, if you want to get a pin and become a member of the Pioneer Association, then we can put you in touch. So when I talked to Father McCabe in the PTAA, I asked him, you know, what sort of numbers are we talking about here? And he said that so far this year, he's had 589 requests from parents for their children for these lapel pins. Now, just to remind listeners, because I'm sure they'll have seen these.
But probably some listeners will be reminded because they remember seeing them. But there's probably a whole generation who've never seen them, or if they have seen them, they didn't know what they were.
Yeah, I think you're right. When I saw one, the person whose interview we'll hear in a moment, it really brought me back because it's got a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on it, and the heart is kind of on fire. The idea is that it's on fire with love. But only 589 were given out. Now, that's not to suggest that other people might have taken it independent of the whole lapel pin thing. But for to put this into context, for the most recent figures we have, the Dublin Diocese, for example, 17,000 children took their confirmation in 2020 alone. So that would suggest that the pledge is becoming a very niche enterprise. But then at the same time, I reached out to a school principal in rural Kerry during the week, and he told me that every single child in sixth class who was taking their confirmation a couple of weeks ago took the pledge.
Sure, but I imagine a lot of parents might think, well, you know, the 8-year-old isn't whipping bottles of vodka. You know, it's not really an issue. And legally, they're not supposed to be drinking until they're 18 anyway. So this is a down the road thing rather than making a commitment now.
Absolutely. But I think perhaps a lot of parents would see it as a more progressive move to not have that sudden moment when the child turns 18 to go out and go mad, basically, but to introduce alcohol slowly, perhaps in the home. They might see that as more progressive. Now, I did speak to one woman, Sean, about her own experiences of taking the pledge, just to give some personal insight. Emily Rose Nolte is one of our interns here on the programme for a news talk, and she recalled what happened to her.
So I took the pledge when I was 11, and this was to become a pioneer. Basically, it meant that I promised that I wouldn't drink for the rest of my life, which is a big pledge to make when you're 11.
Yeah, and because a lot of people would take the pledge to, say, 18 or 21, but yours was for life.
Yeah, as far as I know, it was for life.
And did you get a lapel pin?
Yes, I did.
Oh, can I see it?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so it's like this particular lapel pin, it seems to be red and purple, and it's got a sacred heart in the middle of it. Do you wear the lapel pin?
No, I don't. I don't wear it, no.
You don't? Why not?
Well, to be honest with you, I broke the pledge a few years later when I was a teenager, so it didn't last that long, but I don't think I would wear it anyway.
And how did you feel when you broke the pledge?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think kind of when I first took my first drink, I don't think it was really something that popped into my head, which is kind of funny. But then I remember seeing the pin again because I didn't wear it. I saw it again and I remember being like, oh, I made this promise and I didn't keep this promise. So I feel like it was, you kind of felt like a guilt in a way. And I feel like a child shouldn't feel guilty at that age in general, but especially kind of making a promise like that. I don't drink now, but it's nothing to do with the pledge that I took when I was 11.
So you were 11 when you took the pledge. Now you're in your early to mid 20s, Emily. How do you feel looking back on taking that decision at such a young age?
Yeah, so at the time, it was my decision. Like, my parents never forced me to take the pledge. But looking back, I feel like it is such a big thing for a child to do at such a young age. And I don't think a child can consent to it because they can't comprehend it at all.
Yeah, they can't really. I mean, because it's like I'll be, you know, like an 8-year-old or an 11-year-old. They'll make a commitment that they'll do loads of things, but that commitment lasts about half an hour. You know, they can't tidy their rooms.
Yeah.
Do you mind a promise to not drink for the rest of their lives?
Yeah.
It's difficult to understand what the motivation behind doing this is.
Yeah, I really struggled even during the research of this, Sean, to understand. It's interesting that the association is called Total Abstinence. And it started from this very puritanical place. And I wonder, you know, is it something about having solidarity with people who are, you know, living with addiction, or is it about creating a more abstemious society? So I finished my research speaking again with Father McCabe, and I asked him about that very thing.
That's exactly what the pioneer is asking, is proposing. Is we're not saying that we're anti-drink. That's an important message. We are asking people to respectfully engage and to drink in moderation.
Pioneer who's over 18 then could drink in moderation.
No, the pioneer doesn't drink. The pioneer doesn't drink. But our by wearing our emblem, we're suggesting to others who are socializing that it is possible to socialize in moderation, we're asking them, we're not drinking, but we're asking other people to consider drinking in moderation.
There you go. That was Father Robert McCabe there from the Pioneer Association. Simon, thanks a million. A few comments on that of varying sorts. Peter says, I'm a pioneer for over 50 years and people respect that you don't drink. Well, indeed, about 20% of people of adults in Ireland don't drink either for whatever reason. It's something we kind of overlook. Someone else says the first temperance society in Europe was founded in New Ross by the Reverend G.W. Carr in 1829. Father Cullen founded the pioneers, was a New Ross native. Noel says, I happen to know the emergency phone number for the German Temperance Society. I'm sure there's a story behind that, Noel. And a lot of reaction to this on Twitter. Just an example of one. I took the pledge. We drank bottles of Harp after we set up the chairs for our last meeting in sixth class. I don't know which is more shocking, that you were still in sixth class or that you drank Harp.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.